pieces of film float together to become the logo for New Line Cinema, a Turner company. An Arthur Sarkisian production based on a story by Ryutsu Kikushima and Akira Kurosawa, a lone wolf film starring Bruce Willis and Christopher Walken.
It's a funny thing. No matter how low you sink, there's still a right and a wrong. And you always end up choosing. You go one way so you can try to live with yourself. You can go the other, you can still be walking around. But you're dead and you don't know it.
A black lace mantilla covers a young woman's head as she kneels and prays.
Como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. Dios te salve, María. Llena eres de gracia. El Señor es contigo.
The woman crosses herself before a crucifix surrounded by candles inside a rustic church of wooden clapboard, standing in the desert. Last man standing. An old Ford follows a dirt track across desert scrubland. The license plate says Michigan, 1931. The man behind the wheel has his white shirt sleeves rolled up. He wears a waistcoat and a hat. He reaches into a pocket on the car door and pulls out a half bottle of J&B whiskey, taking a swig. The film also stars Alexandra Powers and David Patrick Kelly. The man stops at a fork in the road and gets out.
I was coming through Texas on my way to Mexico. I needed some time to hide out. I had spent most of my life on the Dodge.
He spins the now empty bottle.
Drunk or sober, I got no complaints. Even if I did get my hands dirty on the way.
He gets back in and bears right on the main dirt track. The music is by Ry Cooder. The film also stars William Sanderson, Karina Lombard, Ned Eisenberg, Michael Imperioli, Ken Jenkins, Artie Call, Leslie Mann, and Bruce Dern. Ford passes a sign saying, "Welcome to Jericho." The population figure in the thousands is crossed out. Scrawled beside it, the number 57. The man drives into Jericho, wiping his brow on his sleeve. Men in suits stand around. One hits his forearm in an obscene gesture.
Jericho was a jerkwater town maybe 50 miles from the border. Dirt streets, ramshackle buildings. One thing for sure, you couldn't find anywhere on the map.
He steers slowly through the red dust that fills the air, eventually pulling up beside a dead white horse covered in flies, lying in the middle of the dirt road. He looks suspiciously at the window of an undertaker, where a mortician is buttoning the suit jacket of a dead young man, placed in an upright coffin in the window.
For the most part, I was a big city guy.
I like pavement under my feet and bright lights after the sun goes down. But I figured this little burg was just the kind of place you gassed up the car, got something to eat. And if you got stuck, maybe spend a night.
Two men in suits with a young woman cross the road.
And I gotta look at her. And that's when all the fun started.
The woman with long, loose, dark hair looks pointedly at the car driver before a door is held open for her. As he sits in his car, men approach, blocking him, looking through the windshield quizzically at him. He kills the engine. A pale man with a mustache peers out at the scene from between the bent slats of a Venetian blind as a man leans in on the driver.
It's not a good idea to be looking at Mr. Doyle's girl that way.
I remember a guy once told me this is a free country.
Jocko, this guy thinks it's a free country.
A fist through the windshield.
I'm free to go.
The young woman sees a tire slashed with a knife.
The sheriff's office is right over there in case you want to complain about anything.
He walks to the front of the car.
Lights out.
And kicks the headlight in. From inside, the woman continues to watch as the men walk off. The driver walks around his car, surveying the damage. Holding a valise and giving his jacket a shake, he walks to the sheriff's office. He approaches the pale man with the mustache, the sheriff.
I seen it. Right outside the window. You know what I'm gonna do about it? Not a goddamn thing. But I know what you ought to do. You ought to get your spare, put it on your car, and just drive on out of town. Ain't that right, Bob?
Another man.
You gotta forgive old Bob. He ain't much for talk.
The driver starts to leave.
Oh, hold it. Let me tell you something. If you're really planning on sticking around, don't be coming to me for help. You're on your own here. We already got a fella in the window of the Undertaker. Do yourself a favor. First thing, get a firearm.
The driver walks into a bar, hangs his jacket on a hook, and approaches the barman.
First customer I've seen all week.
He wipes the counter.
Want a whiskey or beer? Don't have much else to offer.
Whiskey. Under prohibition?
We don't pay much attention to it here.
The barman sips his own drink.
Got a phone in this place?
Who you want to call?
My mama.
The barman pulls a dust cover off a phone.
We got phones, but they ain't working. Since you gotta have a switchboard operator to run them.
Got electricity?
Yep. Got that. Runs on gas generators. Hoping they stay working. Nobody left to fix them if they go bust. Tell the truth, most of what they call decent folks been run off. Really ain't much left here but a ghost town.
They look out the window together.
Some damn sheriff making a profit just staying in the middle, grafting off both sides. I think Mr. Doyle bought him off first. Or maybe it was Strassi.
Who's Strassi?
Oh. That's the other gang here. Strassi and the Italian fellas. Both gangs took over this town, run off all the regular folks. Come from the same big city. They don't like each other much. Bootleggers. You got Strassi at the Sweetwater and Doyle's bunch down to Alamo.
The driver unpacks guns.
They leave me be. Because I stay to myself. They think I'm crazy.
The barman turns.
What the hell are you doing?
The driver finishes off his whiskey.
I'm going to see the fellas that wrecked my car. Have a little talk with them.
He leaves the bar and walks down wooden sidewalks leading to the Alamo.
I hadn't gotten a real warm reception, but I started thinking maybe this was my lucky day. A crook for a sheriff and two bootlegger outfits that hated each other. If I played it right, I could make some easy money and move on.
He walks into the Alamo, where the woman with the long hair sits sewing. She looks up at him as he tips his hat. She rises and backs away from him, speaking Spanish. Everyone here is afraid. The only thing you'll find is death. As she goes up the stairs, Doyle's man comes out of an office.
I've made it real clear who you can and can't be looking at around here. That's Mr. Doyle's property.
The driver smiles.
I came here to see you.
Yeah? Did you get that car of yours fixed yet?
They circle as other men watch from behind the office window.
I'm a little low of cash.
He glances at the men.
Just wondering if you could maybe help pay the damages.
Doyle's man reveals a gun.
I guess maybe you'll have to kill me.
The driver takes off his jacket, revealing two guns.
It'll hurt if I do.
The driver's bullets knock Doyle's man off his feet and backwards out the door. The driver turns to the room full of men and continues firing. Doyle's man's body eventually comes to rest, and the men in the office raise their hands in surrender.
You tell Mr. Doyle if he'd have hired smarter guys, none of this would have happened.
He looks around him cautiously, then backs out of the Alamo. Later, he talks to Strauzy and his gang at the Sweetwater.
It's all about booze. Get smuggled through here from Mexico. We're part of a family operation in Chicago. So what we got here is close to a civil war. Except now we got a truce. But it's my guess, this truce ain't gonna last. Especially after Hickey gets back. That's why you're here.
He reaches for a bottle.
Who's Hickey?
Hickey? It's Doyle's right-hand man. He's a sweetheart, this guy. Looks like somebody carved him up for Sunday dinner.
Talks like this.
Forget it.
He pours the driver a drink.
What about you? You got a name?
The driver drinks.
Huh?
Smith.
Smith. What, Smith what? Wait, you got a first name?
John.
John Smith.
John Smith. All right.
That's a good one.
You on the run? Huh? Where you from, Mr. Smith?
Back east.
John Smith from back east. All right.
A blonde comes in.
I heard you wanted to see me.
Yeah, that's right. What's the matter? What did I interrupt something important?
She holds up her hand.
She was doing her nails. Well, this is Lucy. Yeah, she's a real nice girl. She's a real pretty girl. She got a big mouth, but she's going to keep it shut and act very friendly now, right? Lucy, would you please take Mr. Smith to his room?
She leads him upstairs.
So I guess Strauzy hired himself another bum.
Got it all figured out, do you?
Yeah, I'm a fortune teller. Don't worry, working for Strauzy has its advantages. You're going to love your room.
Lucy opens the door.
This skirt was from just outside of Cicero. Strauzy told me he had her sent down here to keep up his morale. That's the first time I ever heard it called that.
You try and keep it down up here, okay? My room's right underneath.
Try not to make too much noise when I'm jumping up and down on the bed.
Sunday dinner was a real event. Strauzy might have been a small-time hood, but he tried to run things like he was somebody important back in Chicago. He had an army of 20 shooters. As far as I could see, most of them were goofballs. It was all right out of some dime novel.
A long table covered in huge silver platters of meat and vegetables, spaghetti, Italian bread, bottles of wine. At the end sit Strauzy and John Smith.
How's the food?
Huh? I brought these mamas in from Chicago. The food here is terrible. It's good, huh?
Yeah, I like garlic.
All right.
Lucy sits opposite John and they exchange a long look. A young man in a pinstripe suit enters the dining room and sits at the far end of the table.
What is this? Nobody waits?
You're late.
I had important business.
While you were doing your important business, things are happening. We now have a new employee. Mr. Smith, this is Giorgio Carmine.
John acknowledges him.
Gil Finn. It's Doyle's best guy next to Hickey.
No. I know all about it.
And you hire him?
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think that looks like to Doyle in keeping a truce? You want to tip Doyle off? Plus, who the hell is he?
Doyle's guys are scared of him. Yeah, hell, he was in town 20 minutes, killed one of them. Doyle ain't gonna do a goddamn thing with Hickey out of town. The only thing that cockroach might try is to hire this guy for himself.
Yeah, well, I don't like it. I don't like changes at the last minute, and I don't like new faces.
Strousey pounds the table and John Smith stands up.
You got a problem with me, Giorgio, you take it up with your boss. I just work here.
He leaves the table. Later, in the undertaker's window, the body of Finn rests in a wooden coffin, hands folded, suit lovingly brushed by Richardson, the undertaker.
So I decided to give up my free room. I'd seen the real thing, and these guys were a long way from it.
As John Smith walks towards him, the undertaker tips his hat.
I wasn't sure if he was getting a wooden box ready for me or if he just wanted to say thanks for the business.
Smith re-enters the bar where he first got a drink. He grabs a bottle off the table where the barman sits drinking.
Well, look who's here. Last time I saw you, you was gonna have a talk with some fellas. Next thing I hear, one of them's dead.
Conversation sort of went downhill.
He takes a drink of whiskey.
Ain't that right, Bob?
The deputy sheriff.
He don't talk much. But his ears work good.
Smith stares at the quiet man.
You got a room you can rent me?
Surprised you ain't staying with your friends at Sweetwater. There's a room upstairs. Tell you the truth, I can use the money. You got a name? Mine's Joe.
Okay, Joe. You let me know when this runs out. I'll give you some more.
Yes, sir.
You got girls for hire in this town?
Hell yes. You in West Texas. Round the corner. Third door on the left.
Joe counts the money and has a drink.
You can certainly afford them.
Dugan.
You remind me of this guy that used to come see me when I worked in New Orleans. He looked a lot like you. You ever been to New Orleans? He was nice. He wasn't as quiet as you, though. But you two almost look like brothers, except he had tattoos. I think that he was in the Navy.
She pauses to think.
No. And he used to come and see me every Friday or Saturday night. His name was Clarence. I had a lot of fun in New Orleans.
She moves to the light.
Sorry I ever came to this lousy town. There's nothing to do here.
In bed.
I take every kind of dance class imaginable because I wanted to be a dancer. And so I came here because he's Aussie.
A man bursts in, gun firing. Smith springs from the bed, grabbing his guns and hitting the floor. He shoots a second man. The girl starts to run. Smith slams her against the door, knocking her out. He comes out of the room, guns pointed, and looks downstairs as customers leave. He goes back to the room and gets dressed. As the girl comes to, he puts a gun to her throat.
I didn't
know. Who set me up? Who?
They endorsed me! They said they'd kill me! Who? I didn't have no choice!
Give me a name. Give me a name, goddammit!
It was the guy that worked it out. It was Styles Punch. Please don't tell me I told you.
Shut up!
Please, I'm sorry.
Later, a downpour.
Her name was Wanda. Crossing me was nothing personal. She was just trying to make a living in a world where big fish eat little fish. By the time the law showed up, I was long gone. But the sheriff didn't let me down. He investigated the whole thing. Then arrested the hooker.
Lucy drives John Smith through the rain.
I went down to the Red Bird and asked that old geezer who runs the place where I could find you.
Where are we heading?
Jig joint outside of town. Strozzi wants everybody there.
He's gonna make another speech.
You don't keep me too well informed. Giorgio's always acting like he's in charge because he's the son of somebody important, Strozzi's boss in Chicago. Strozzi and Giorgio are really cousins. Strozzi don't admit it, though.
Not a family man. Where's that lead you on him?
She gives him a dismissive look.
Slim's was a fast 20 minutes out across the desert. Two stories of wood in the middle of nowhere.
was the kind of place that looked like the special was chicken fried steak.
Ustrazi told me that Giorgio and the other guys got a real hot head about the kind of money you're getting. Giorgio don't like you too much, in case you haven't noticed.
Why's the guy send his girlfriend to come find me?
Ustrazi figures I wouldn't be dumb enough to do anything out of line, so he sent me.
Well, that must make you feel real proud.
For being a shitheel, all right? You get enough of that from Strozzi, thank you.
You sure you're not dumb enough to do anything out of line? I'm just curious. Your boyfriend got a first name?
Yeah. But only in the bedroom.
She gets out.
As usual, she was trying to act tough. But anybody could see it was paper thin. Even with a second-rater like Strozzi, she was in way over her head.
Looking around cautiously, he follows her into the cheap restaurant. They go into the back room where Giorgio and Strozzi are waiting with the rest of the gang.
Well, for Christ's sweet sake, it took you too long enough.
Lucy glares at Giorgio.
That's my ass.
Raining outside, Giorgio. Hard to drive in the rain.
Like he said, what took you so long?
Maybe you don't hear too good. It's raining.
You know something? You're getting me more of a wise-ass Polack every day, and it ain't so cute no more. You know what happens to wise-ass Polack dames? They get their wise-ass kicked.
He shoves her into a chair.
I was in this warehouse. Doyle sent a couple guys to visit me. I had to kill them both.
You killed two more Doyle's guys. Is that bullshit or is that true?
Look, I don't give a damn about Doyle. If he lost two men tonight, that's good news.
It's Doyle. He's trying to outbid me with my own supplier, this Mick bastard. Yeah, I tried to do business with him. Nah, it's bullshit. Now, we got a shipment coming in from Monterey next week. Mr. Doyle has got one coming in tomorrow. This is where you're going to start to earn your pay.
Strozzi's gang waits, cars lined up across the dirt road as a convoy of cars and trucks arrives, one full of soldiers.
That's five trucks, maybe 200 cases. We deliver at $200 a case, that's 200 grand in our books. Plus, you know what's really defrosted? We get Doyle's trucks. You know how hard it is to buy a truck in Mexico?
As they stand waiting by their cars, the convoy carrying illegal alcohol comes to a halt.
We crossed the border a couple hours before dawn. Strozzi had come up with a plan that he thought would make him look good to the big boss back in Chicago. It involved hijacking, murder, corruption of the military, and sticking me right out front.
Mexican soldiers form a line, rifles poised at John Smith. An officer stares at him, and a man leans his head out of the lead car.
Where are you supposed to be?
This might be a good time for you guys to give up.
Bueno, amigos. Señor, nuestras armas.
The soldiers turn on the officer's command and point their rifles at the convoy.
I told you we couldn't trust these Mexicans.
I'm going to send Smith back with Santo to keep an eye on Doyle. We stay with the trucks till we get to Matamoros.
Matalos!
The officer shouts, kill them, and the soldiers open fire. Smith looks away.
It was a massacre. Couldn't say I was real sorry, but it was a rough way to check out.
The hooker in jail is visited by Smith.
Now, I don't know how reliable she's ever going to hold up as a witness. She's some kind of a vagrant. Might even be here for immoral purposes.
How much to get her out?
100. Send her on her way right away.
You know, I've been thinking about how Doyle's men knew I was at that whorehouse. I figured your deputy here heard of me last night at the Redbird, came over here and told you about it, and you sold the information to Doyle. How am I doing so far, Sheriff?
He walks towards the cell.
You are one suspicious fellow. Ain't he, Bob?
Think I was a little rough on you last night. I shortchanged you.
He tosses her money.
How's he going to get out of here? Those men are going to think you tipped me off. You got a bus comes through this town?
Yeah, noon, every day.
Smith starts to leave.
Make sure she gets on it. I got some information you may want to sell to Mr. Doyle. He's going to find out soon enough, but you might be the one to give it to him.
shipment of booze he had coming up from Mexico got hijacked by some bandidos. A tip like that ought to be worth at least a grand.
You better be right. Because if Doyle should send Hickey after me, he's coming directly for you.
I keep hearing about Hickey. Sounds like a real scary guy.
Let me tell you just how scary. It goes that when he was 10 years old, gets a butcher knife and cuts his father's throat from ear to ear. Then they stick him in an orphanage, 15 years old. He burns it to the ground.
Just make sure you mark me down for half that thousand.
Smith leaves. A peephole on a door slides open.
Think maybe you and I should talk. I don't think these people appreciate you.
Lucy leans on the door, wearing only a slip.
You're gonna be my hero? I thought you were just a guy who did things for money.
Yeah. I'm just a guy that does everything for money.
She blocks his way into her room.
Anybody see you come up here?
He moves past her.
Appreciate me? You don't know the half of it. I'll tell you, I don't have to take it from these bastards. Going back to Chicago on the first thing out of here to move.
She puts on a dressing gown.
So funny.
You're not going anywhere. Just blowing off a little steam.
Oh, yeah? You hear the way Strozzi talked to me? That greaseball? To hell with him.
You know, Strozzi's out of town for the day. So is Giorgio.
So?
Strozzi tell you he's paying me a lot of money. Well, there may be a way for you to get your hands on some of it.
She turns to him, leaning on her dressing table.
Are you gonna tell me why you would do such a nice thing?
Because I'm a nice guy. Sweet guy.
Yeah, right.
She starts to walk past him. He grabs her arm.
Like I said, I don't think they appreciate you. See, I think you're a very smart girl.
He slips off her dressing gown.
You hear things inside word. I'm the kind of guy that likes to have all the information he can get. So, if you gave me the inside word, I'd give you an extra 100 or so a week.
He slides her slip off.
Just between me and you.
He bends to kiss her and she hesitates, then returns his kiss passionately.
Strozzi and Giorgio were going to be back the next day. But I smelled the real money was going to come from working Doyle's side of the street. They'd make the first move.
In the Redbird, Smith plays solitaire, a bottle of whiskey on the table, as two men enter, one approaching the table, the other smaller man hanging back by the door.
Mr. Doyle wants you to come work for us full time.
I'm not sure he can afford it.
Try me.
$1,000.
A week? Or a day?
The smaller man steps forward, taking money out.
Surprised you're not mad at me.
He sips his drink.
I thought you might hold it against me killing three of your guys.
Doyle comes to the table.
It's the only cure I know for being stupid. Hey, dummy!
Joe, the barman, jumps.
Bring us your best stuff.
Yes, sir, Mr. Doyle. Right away, sir.
Joe salutes. Doyle comes closer to Smith.
I know you already got a job working for Strozzi. But I figure you for the kind of guy that goes to the highest bidder. Just like those Mexicans. They were supposed to guard my booze.
Doyle paces away.
Strozzi was behind that, wasn't he?
He walks back.
How would you like to kill Strozzi? That little punk Giorgio. From what I hear, a guy like yourself, you only care about the money, right?
Smith looks down.
I mean it as a compliment. That's why we're all here.
Where's Hickey?
You heard about Hickey?
I heard he talks kind of funny.
Yeah, well, that's the way you sound. Somebody slices your face, jams an ice pick in your voice box.
Another of Doyle's men stands in the open doorway, filling it.
It can get awful messy, though. This should be an inside job. We need somebody nice and neat like you.
Smith gets up.
I'll think about it.
He starts to leave.
You're making a mistake!
Doyle stands and Smith turns slowly.
You're just not very smart. What the hell are you holding back for? You think the meek are going to inherit the earth? If they do, you won't be there to enjoy it.
Doyle takes his hat and leaves.
I might have been a gun for hire, but I wasn't exactly an assassin. Maybe Doyle figured there wasn't much difference.
Tell Hickey I said hello.
Parting words to Doyle's man.
If I was going to get into Doyle's wallet, I needed something big to sell him.
Smith visits Strauzy and Giorgio at the Sweetwater.
Hey! Doyle!
You don't quit me. Nobody quits me. What is it, Doyle? What are you doing? You owe me more money?
Keep the 500 you owe me. The rest is mine for the work I did down in Mexico.
As Smith walks away, Giorgio pulls a gun.
No, he doesn't go. Nobody goes. You get back here, you young son of a...
Smith throws Giorgio into the street. Strauzy stops his men shooting. Smith takes out another gang member and starts to leave. Strauzy draws, then Smith. They stand, guns pointing at each other. Strauzy shakes. Smith's is steady.
That's your fault. Giorgio's a half-wit.
Smith smiles.
You really want to get killed for a half-wit?
Strauzy hesitates, glancing at Giorgio.
Let it go. Put it down.
Strauzy flings his gun aside, then brings his hands up to his chin, flicking them out in a gesture of derision. Smith walks away, then spots the sheriff and his deputy.
Hey! Tell Mr. Doyle I turned Strauzy down.
The sheriff looks at his silent deputy, but in the Redbird Saloon, Joe reacts. As Smith enters the bar, Joe stops laughing.
What the hell are you grinning about?
Goddamn, that was great. I guess you don't work for Strauss no more.
Smith throws his hat, sits down at a table, holding a glass up and wiping it with his handkerchief.
You ever wash these, Joe?
Smith leans back in a chair on a wooden porch, cutting up an apple and eating it.
Working for Strauzy had about played itself out. Until Hickey showed up, I was out of moves. I decided to dry out a little. Went 2 days without a drink. For me, that's pretty good.
A car pulls up with Doyle and his dark-haired girlfriend in the back. The driver, McCool, talks to Smith.
You know, sitting out here in the open, this might not be a real good idea for a fellow that's got as many enemies as you got.
Everybody like me.
Such a nice guy.
McCool glances towards the back of the car.
This is Mr. Doyle's girl. Bringing her back from church.
Smith stares and eats a piece of apple.
I guess going to church makes her feel better about keeping company with Mr. Doyle. Is that right, honey?
She stares at him coldly.
You don't want to miss out on the big money. This little war with Strauzy is going to be over soon.
As they pull off, Smith continues to eat his apple thoughtfully. That night, as Smith plays solitaire in the Redbird, Joe watches out the window as a car pulls up into Jericho.
Hickey's back.
Smith continues playing. A man in gray wearing a bow tie steps out. McCool talks to him.
We got problems. Strauzy broke the truce. Hit our trucks in Mexico. Killed all our guys. Jacked the whole load.
Hickey's jaws clench, the muscles obvious on his lean, grim, scarred face. The next morning, Smith knocks on a screen door.
Hey, how's my car?
Oh, I fixed that inner tube and I fixed that headlight. She's good as new. Except for that windshield. Ordering new glasses is gonna take a while.
Smith hands him a bill.
It's covered.
$20, that's way too much. But I got some information I'll trade you for the change on it. A fella come around here asking me about your car, wanted to look at the registration and check your name.
What'd you tell him?
I didn't tell him nothing. He just went on ahead and looked anyway. But guess what?
He didn't find that registration, did he?
That's right.
You can keep that change. This fella say what his name was?
He didn't say, but I know who it was. One of my Italian boys been hanging around town named Giorgio.
Smith sits at a switchboard dialing. At the Sweetwater, everyone stares at the phone. Giorgio.
Somebody answer the goddamn phone! Maybe Chicago found a way to get through.
Yeah.
Oh, looks like I struck pay dirt. Who's this, Giorgio?
Yeah, who's this?
Hey, you remember me? A high-paid nobody. I got a message for Strozzi.
Yeah, well, we don't need any messages from jerks like you, all right?
Don't be stupid. Just because I don't work for you doesn't mean I can't be a friend. I don't want to see your boss get hurt.
He watches a car.
Well, you tell him that Doyle knows that he's the one that hijacked the shipment.
But maybe you got a bigger problem. There's a rumor Ramirez is going to go back on Doyle's payroll. Who knows? Maybe it's all just bullshit. You getting this, Giorgio?
Yeah, I'm getting it. All bullshit.
Yeah, good boy. You tell your cousin to watch his ass.
Giorgio hangs up, looking thoughtful. Later, Smith watches the street from behind a screen door.
The Italians were winning in New York and Chicago, but they weren't doing too good in Jericho.
Giorgio and other gang members leave the Sweetwater.
A little past nine that night, I got a look at Giorgio leaving town. You could almost see the price tag hanging around his neck.
As Smith watches, Giorgio is driven off. Later, Smith is shaving in his room. Lucy is with him.
I just came by to tell you that me and Strozzi made it up this morning. I got an investment there, so we can forget about the other day like it never happened, right? I mean, it was just one time for fun, right?
Business is business.
I don't want to get myself in the middle of anything here. Strozzi's going to take care of me.
Smith wipes his face with a towel.
So I punked Giorgio sneak out of town. Where's he headed?
He went to El Morado.
What's he doing down in Mexico?
What he always does. Drinks, messes around, goes to whorehouses.
He powders himself.
Right, Strozzi didn't go. Must be getting pretty used to whores by now.
God damn.
He grabs her as she strikes out at him.
I think you're forgetting about our deal. Giorgio, go to Mexico.
He caresses her shoulder and neck.
He went to finish doing some business with Ramirez.
His hand travels down.
Beam off. And the cop they got for security. I gotta go. We're quits now, right?
We're quits.
He kisses her and they embrace passionately. Later, Smith visits Doyle.
That mouthy little cousin of Strozzi's, Giorgio. He's on his way down to Mexico right now to see a friend of yours. A fellow named Ramirez. You know a guy named Ramirez, do you? I'm gonna pay him back for the hijack. How you like the story so far?
Good. Keep talking.
He's gonna see a cop down there, too. This cop's responsibility was security on this side of the border. So I guess he's gonna get paid, too. They're probably all planning their next shipment. Use your trucks. You know, I don't want to be pushy, but this kind of information is a little too valuable to be given away. Giorgio is very important to Strozzi. If something were to happen to him, it'd be very bad for Strozzi, don't you think?
He downs his drink as Doyle takes out bills folded in a money clip.
Take as much as you want. You work for me now.
Just take the 2,000 we agreed upon.
You work with us. You work with the winners. Anything else is stupid.
I'll take that.
He throws down the money clip and Doyle starts to walk away.
What the hell are you holding back for? I don't play this style! What the hell are you holding back for?
Doyle's men in the next room stand up and come in. With them are McCool, who explains to Hickey.
His name's Smith. At least that's what he says.
Hickey comes forward. He has red hair and scars on the right side of his face.
This is Hickey. I told you about him.
Smith smiles.
Told me all about you. Been hearing about you all over town, actually. Especially like that orphanage store.
He drinks.
I tell you about all them little kids. Burning up like candles.
My favorite part.
You shot some of our guys.
I guess I did. The ones that deserved it.
Well, you got Finn. He's Doyle's best shooter.
I thought you were the best.
Nah, just the best looking.
Enough of this bullshit! This game is finished. Come on, we gotta talk.
Doyle storms out, followed by the others.
I guess you better go talk.
Hickey starts to leave, then turns back.
Don't believe everything you hear.
Smith looks closely at Hickey, who brings his fingers to his lips in a shushing motion, then points at Smith, the Rio Grande River, a natural boundary separating the USA from Mexico.
El Mirado was about 30 miles across the Rio Grande. The whole town was celebrating some Saints Day, which meant everybody was either drunk or working on it.
A car pulls into the Mexican village full of revelers.
Doyle took my bait and sent a car due south the next morning. You didn't have to be real smart to guess who the passenger was.
Hickey gets out. Nearby, a native band of flute, drums, and maracas. Hickey and his driver walk past a fountain. Hickey stops and stares at a car parked in the middle of the celebrations, which now include firecrackers. Hickey's face, the left-hand side unscathed, the right marked with a thin scar from eye to jawline, the eye drooping slightly. He walks into a cantina where Ramirez, Giorgio, and others of Strozzi's gang are drinking.
Come here, senor! Yes, Marano!
No, thanks.
Hickey shoves a woman aside and, armed with a machine gun, heads for Giorgio's party. Ramirez stands up and looks warily at Hickey. Hickey opens fire, killing everyone in the gang except Giorgio and the policeman sitting next to him.
Looks to me you're a cop. You wearing a gun, right?
Yes, sir.
That's good. Maybe you're the kind of guy shooting an armed man in the back.
Hickey walks away, tossing his machine gun onto a pool table. The cop and Giorgio watch him nervously as he stops. The cop stands uncertainly. Hickey turns and shoots him. Giorgio stands, hands up. Hickey, gun pointed up, looks at him for a long moment.
We're taking you out of here, Giorgio.
Giorgio stares.
Just don't shoot me. Come on.
Okay, okay. Okay.
Near the abandoned church, Doyle's driver naps, snoring softly. Inside the church, Doyle's dark-haired Mexican girlfriend kneels and prays in front of the photo of a little girl. The photo is surrounded by lit candles. Smith approaches the woman.
She looks like her mother. It's all right. He's asleep.
She removes the black lace mantilla.
Parked a couple miles from here and walked in. Why do you come out here?
The wooden church is derelict.
Doyle lets me be alone here. It's the only place they don't watch me.
Why do you stay with him? People don't own other people.
A year ago, my husband gambled with Mr. Doyle. After he lost me, he went back across the border. He was ashamed.
The photo of a pretty little girl with long, dark hair.
My Doyle took me from my daughter. I went to sleep.
She looks down at the photo.
All I had left was to pray. El miedo es mi maldición. My fear is my curse.
She stares at him through impassive eyes.
What's yours?
Smith looks away.
I was born without a conscience.
There's a fella here. Come see you. John Smith, meet Captain Tom Pickett. He's the head ranger here in my district. He generally just comes down when...
Shut up, Galt. Sit down, Mr. Smith.
Chase and Galt's head drops as Smith smirks at him.
Now, Sheriff, Mr. Smith and I are going to have a drink. We got a lot to talk about tonight. I'm here about a murdered policeman got himself killed the other side of the river in some crummy little Mexican town. A few locals killed, too. And a double-dealing commandante named Ramirez. But the man I'm concerned about was an American on the border patrol. He had a family, well-liked by his brother officers. I guess he strayed a little bit in some departments, but he was an officer of the law just the same.
Pickett lifts his head.
You know anything about his death, son?
No, I don't think so.
That's odd. Don't hardly seem possible. Mr. Galt here says you're real well informed on what happens around here.
You saying I did it?
I asked if you knew anything about it, not if you did it. The crime has been solved, son. Mexican police picked up two armed drifters from the state of Florida just across the border, handed them over to us. They ain't confessed yet, but they will.
Galt glances up.
I just can't get past the idea that maybe one of these two bootleg gangs had something to do with it. I learned a long time ago to trust my instincts. Now listen real careful, because here's the point, son. Things in this town are out of control. Two gangs is just one too many. I'm not an idealist. I know a lot of things that people do are awful low, but that's between them and God. Do you believe in God? I believe in God, son. But what I'm concerned with is keeping a lid on things. And what we got here in Jericho is just way out of hand. And Sheriff Galt here, he can't do much about it, right? Matter of fact, it might be fair to say that he's part of the problem, right? Now, you've been going back and forth, playing both sides, according to Mr. Galt here, making yourself a lot of money out of all this. Well, it's over, son. I'm coming back here in 10 days. I'm going to bring about 20 rangers with me. I will tolerate one gang, because that is the nature of things. A certain amount of corruption is inevitable. But if I find two gangs here when I get back, then in a couple of hours, there will be no gangs here.
Galt sits thoughtful.
So it's simple. One gang quits and goes home. You boys work it out. I don't give a damn which one.
Just so long as one side leaves, or maybe one side loses.
That's fine, too, son. Kill as many as you want. Just don't kill no innocent people around here. I wouldn't like that.
Pickett stares hard as Smith downs his drink and stands.
It's been real nice talking to you, Captain.
Likewise, son. Only one more thing.
Smith stops at the door.
When I come back, if I was you, I'd be gone.
Both men narrow their eyes. Later, Hickey and his driver pull up at the Sweetwater. Strozzi's men come out.
You tell Strozzi we got his boy Giorgio. Tell him he wants him back to bring us 100 thou out to the crossing at the 5 mile road. Tell him to make a 3 in the afternoon.
Trucks?
Oh, yeah. And we'll give you 2 days to give us our trucks back.
The next day, two convoys of cars meet at the dusty crossroads.
All the vultures showed up for the exchange. If I was honest, I guess I'd have to include myself in the roll call. But if there was 100 grand being handed over for Giorgio, I wanted to take a real good look at it.
Smith nods at Hickey.
Stick around.
Smith watches as Strozzi and his men get out of their cars. McCool holds Giorgio, his arms and hands bound with ropes. The two lines of men face each other. Strozzi carries a large briefcase and hands it to one of his men, who also carries a machine gun.
You get the briefcase, you let go of the rope.
McCool and another man push Giorgio forward, a gun to his head. They meet Strauss's man halfway in between the lines of gang members. As the briefcase is handed over, Hickey fires, killing Strauss's man, who holds the briefcase. Doyle's men grab the case. Doyle picks up a rock and holds it over Giorgio's head.
We're even now! You got one choice! Give up your whole operation!
Strauss shouts something and Doyle's girlfriend is pulled from the back seat of Strauss's car, a gun to her neck. The suitcase is opened and emptied of nothing but newspaper.
Son of a bitch!
McCool throws it.
Until I get Giorgio back, she stays with me! And I guess you know what I'm gonna be doing with her, right, Doyle?
Doyle throws down the rock.
Bring him across!
Two hostages are manhandled towards a central meeting point.
Anything stupid, Doyle. Nice and easy, huh? You don't want to get the girl killed, right?
Hostages are exchanged.
Get back down!
You all right? Did they touch you? Did they do anything?
Strauss! I'm gonna settle things with you, Strauss! I promise, you one bastard! I promise! I promise!
The girl gets into Doyle's car and looks across at Smith. The assembled cars begin leaving, circling and turning back, narrowly missing the body of Strauss's man lying dead in the dust. When all the cars have pulled away, only Smith is left. He begins walking back to Jericho.
I had a visitor about 3 p.m. the next day. She'd had enough at Jericho, but was too broke to buy a bus ticket out.
Lucy comes into the Redbird carrying a suitcase.
Slipped her $500. Usually I wasn't such a sucker, but somebody had smacked her around pretty good.
She tucks the money into her purse. Her face is bruised.
She's been in a real bad mood. Ever since his cousin got traded back for that girl. Been fighting with Giorgio, acting like a real jerk. Yelling at anything that gets near him. I'd never seen him drunk before. But he was really in the bag last night.
What'd you do?
I called him a name. So he slapped me, slugged me a couple of times. Threw my clothes out on the street. So I figured I'd get even. I told him about me and you.
Smith takes a drink.
I guess things could be worse. Get back to wherever it is you're going. Maybe you should try and find yourself a better class of guy.
No guy is gonna ever want to mess with me again.
Your face will heal up. Your looks are all right.
She stares at him a long moment, then reaches up and pushes back her hair, revealing a bandage. She lifts the bandage. Her ear has been cut off, leaving a nasty, open wound.
How is this gonna heal up?
She replaces the gauze, holding her gloved hand to the side of her face.
Like he said, I got a big mouth.
Her eyes downcast, her hand slides from her face and falls into her lap.
He had three guys hold me down. Told Giorgio to slice it off.
Smith looks down, shaken by what he's just seen. Suddenly he gets up and walks towards the door.
They were real drunk. But everything you ever did to me, you did on purpose, right? Right?
Smith looks at her, then goes outside where Sheriff Gault leans on a post.
finish all your business inside with the little princess?
Just make sure she gets on that bus.
You know something, amigo? I think I just spotted the chink in your armor. When you go down, it's gonna be over a skirt.
Galt walks away. Later, Smith sits at a table, holster strapped over his vest, a pile of bullets in front of him, he's methodically loading into guns.
For most of my life, I made my own rules. You don't do any favors, you don't ask for any. Watch the percentages. But you can know the rules and still do the wrong thing. The only thing I knew for sure was this. Strozzi, Doyle, and every son of a bitch had worked for. They were all gonna be better off dead.
He rubs his brow. Later, he visits Doyle.
There's somebody out here to see you, Mr. Doyle.
Thought it over. I'll take the job.
Doyle and McCool smile.
You must smell a winner.
Did 1,000 in advance.
Hickey looks up.
Nobody's worth that much.
He's good.
Hickey gets up and grabs a machine gun. Everyone's ducked.
Goddamn gun away! Put it away! Save it for Strozzi!
Suit yourself. Buy him.
Hickey leaves.
1,000. 1,000 more. When we win.
It's settled. Let's have a drink on it.
What about the girl?
What girl?
The one you keep. Strozzi gets a hold of her again, he'll blackmail you right out of town.
Don't worry about it. We got her in a safe place. And 8 guys out there on watch.
8's not gonna be enough. Strauss's got some new trigger men coming in town tonight.
Where do you hear all this?
Maybe it's just a rumor.
You want me to check it out?
I want you and Hickey here with me. Strauss's got new help coming in. Chances are he's gonna try to rush us here. You go out to the country. Check on her. She means a lot to me. McCool can tell you how to get there.
In an isolated house, Doyle's woman stands naked before a mirror and lights a bundle of sage. She gently blows it out, holding it up and inhaling its smoke, her eyes shut. She puts on a thin dressing gown as Smith's car pulls up in front of the house. She peers from behind a curtain as Smith gets out of the car. Smith looks into the house through its windows. Upstairs, the woman puts a rosary around her neck. Smith, now in the house, peers through the windows and a door to the kitchen where 7 men are eating. He opens the door and everyone looks up.
The girl upstairs?
Everyone draws. Smith unloads, having shot all 7 men. He proceeds upstairs. He nears the top, both guns still drawn. In the bedroom, a man stands with a gun to the woman's head.
Have to.
Don't come any closer.
It's over.
I'll kill her.
Put the gun down.
Keep away from here, I swear to God. Kill her. No!
Smith kills him.
Get dressed. You gotta get out of here.
She looks at him.
I'm gonna get you to Mexico. Come on, move.
Later, she gets behind the wheel of a car.
from Doyle. I want you to use it. Get across the border and don't come back. Come on, get going.
She starts the car, then looks at him. She reaches up and breaks the chain of her rosary beads. She kisses it, then places it in Smith's hand, closing his fingers around it.
Go.
He watches the car disappear.
I always like sinners a lot better than saints. She was real easy to look at. But I hoped I never saw her again.
Ours as Smith leans back in a chair, his ankles crossed. As Doyle and his men get out, Smith rises to his feet.
They're all dead inside. Found him last night.
Where's the girl?
I don't know. Strozzi must have taken her.
In the kitchen, Doyle, Hickey, and McCool inspect the scene.
All of them. This is a slaughter.
You were right about those extra trigger men. Must have taken 15 or 20 of Strozzi's guys to pull this off.
This whole thing is turning on us.
When you found him out here, why didn't you drive back to town and tell us instead of just waiting out here?
Figured the girl ran off when the fighting started. Stuck around, hoping maybe she'd come back. She didn't.
Hickey examines a gun, sniffing it.
This one hasn't been fired. Must get killed before he got a shot off.
Hickey and Smith stare at each other. Doyle reminisces.
Strozzi's jealous of me giving her a chance. She grew up in some filthy little village. Told me her mother was a Yaqui Indian. Didn't know much about her father. Except he was white. She married some lowlife wetback. The only thing he ever gave her was a kid. Jesus Christ, she only had one dress till she met me. The way she looked. The way her eyes looked.
We gotta hit Strozzi soon. Get her back.
We have to get this thing over with.
I'm gonna head back into town and see what I can find out. Maybe Strozzi doesn't know I work for you guys yet.
Smith leaves.
We have to get this thing over with.
Smith drives back to town.
Hickey was suspicious. Doyle's nuts and McCool was stupid. Except maybe I was the dumb one. If I had any brains, I would have kept on driving straight south into Mexico.
He speeds into the dusty village. It looks even emptier than before, the only sign of life being a few chickens. He pulls up at the garage and the attendant comes out.
Keep her gassed up and ready to go.
Yes, sir, I'll do her. But pretty soon, you're gonna be on your own. Come next week, I'm getting the hell out. Ain't no business here. This town is finished.
Smith relaxes in a bath, arms folded behind his head, guns on a table beside him.
As usual, it was hot as hell. And the wind picked up the dust so much you could taste it. The whiskey helped, but I didn't want to get sloppy, so I switched to beer.
He takes a swig from the bottle, resting it on his chest, then rubbing it across his face.
Somehow I had the feeling the walls were moving in on me. It's funny how it all works out. For one little second, you think you're gonna get away free and clear. But you end up paying the price. No exceptions. Everybody pays the price. Even a bum like me.
Men burst into the room. As Smith reaches for his guns, one of Doyle's men takes aim. Joe is slammed against the wall.
Take the guns.
One of the men takes Smith's guns.
What is it?
As Smith leans back in the bath, McCool searches his clothes.
Strathy doesn't have Doyle's half-breed. McCool went across the border looking for her. Down in El Morado, he ran into a guy with an interesting story. He'd seen her heading out. She'd sold her car to some guy for a couple $100 and took a bus south. So, Strozzi didn't take her.
Maybe. If you believe the guy's story.
Why would a guy lie?
Which leaves the question how she got away.
The big question.
McCool hands Hickey the rosary he's found.
Why would you give a damn? Indian girl, you know. It's not like she was the Blessed Virgin, is it?
Smith looks around, uncomfortable.
Out there in the country. Only a real fine gunner could nail that many all by himself. But you work for us. Why would you do that?
Smith looks at him as if sizing him up.
Maybe you don't work for us. Maybe you take the money, do what you want. You're one of them. You're an independent. Who are you running from? Jericho's a good place to stop. On your way to Mexico, running the feds.
For Christ's sakes, everybody's running from something.
Now, see, working for people like you and I work for has an advantage. The payroll covers a lot of ground.
Hickey gets up from his seat near the bath and walks to McCool. As both men stare down at him in the bath, Smith looks round uneasily.
You're scared.
Smith looks up at him.
Water's getting cold.
A row of men's shoes. Doors open and Smith is tossed down a ramp. Doyle looks down at him.
Where is she?
More beating.
Gun.
Doyle goes up the ramp, followed by the other gang members. Jocko the gorilla is the last one up. Hickey and Jocko turn back for one last look of Smith lying on his face, ankles crossed, unconscious in a puddle of water. As it pours in Jericho, Jocko and another man with a gun revisit the cellar. Jocko walks down the ramp. The two men begin to search, moving cautiously around the cellar. Smith springs from a trunk, grabs the man with the gun, and fires at Jocko, who fires back, killing the other gangster. Jocko's dead, Smith's missing.
Find him for me! Search this whole hick town! Look over there! Over there! They're there! Over there! Tear up every goddamn inch of this place! Find him!
Doyle's men disperse in the rain.
Get those cars! Wall up these streets! Find him! Find him!
As men run around frantically searching cars, only Hickey walks coolly, casually, carrying a machine gun. load into cars, rifles, and machine guns at the ready.
Find him! Find him! Here! He's gotta be here!
Doyle, soaked, bursts into the Redbird saloon.
Stop this place! Upstairs! Behind the bar! Now! Find it!
You, where is he? I know he's here.
Smith! Don't hold out on me, you shit heel! I'll stick a knife in your throat! Oh.
Doyle holds Joe by the throat, shaking him as men run upstairs. Beds are upturned.
This is not a game! Don't play around! You want to talk to me? You won't talk to anybody anymore!
Doyle punches Joe.
Where is he?
Hickey comes in out of the rain.
Little fella. Doesn't want to talk to us. You came here with me.
Hickey holds the machine gun to Joe's neck.
Hold it! You hold it, John Law! It's gone way past you! This thing with Strozzi's over!
Strozzi, you know where he is right now? He's holed up with the rest of his gang, waiting for some new shooters that are coming from back east to help him out.
Where's Smith?
He's at Slim's Roadhouse.
Doyle's men come downstairs.
Checked all over and he ain't upstairs.
Come on, load it up! We're going to the Roadhouse! You better be right!
A convoy of cars pulls out of Jericho. Joe runs to the kitchen and opens the door of the icebox. McCool's already checked. From inside, ice is pushed out. A bloody hand reaches for Joe's.
What took you so long?
I had to make it look good.
Smith climbs out, helped by Joe, his face and shirt covered in blood. He grabs a carving knife. Car speeds through the night.
You know, my helping you out don't make a hell of a lot of sense. But I'm betting on the Ranger. I know it, the big money days are just about done, but don't kid yourself, boys. It could still come down real hard. Mr. Smith, I will help hide you. But I prefer you be unarmed and on your way the hell out of this town. That move you made from Doyle's Little Honey in this league, that'll get you broke and dead, both at the same time.
In the back seat, Smith reclines, his bloodied face at rest. Joe sits next to him, glancing over anxiously as he listens to Sheriff Galt. Slim's Roadhouse is alight. Doyle's men fire from cars as Strozzi's flee, the inferno, their bodies ablaze, men rolling in the dust, trying in vain to put the fires out, diving from windows, falling like fiery angels, arms outspread.
By the time we got to Slim's Roadhouse, Strozzi's men were trapped inside the burning building. The ones that made a run for it got shot. The ones that stayed inside got cooked. None of them were gonna make it home to Chicago.
Smith watches, one eye swollen shut, the other underlined with a bruise. He sees Giorgio run from the building, arms in the air.
Don't shoot me! I know where the money is! Don't shoot me!
Kill him.
Doyle's men open fire on Giorgio. Smith gives the order to Galt, rolling up the window. Galt pulls away, fire reflecting briefly on his windshield. Doyle's men stand in front of the roadhouse and watch, like an army unscathed by battle, taking no prisoners.
As the fire dies down, go inside. Pull out Smith's body if you can find it.
McCool.
He's gotta be dead. He didn't come out. Everybody in there has got to be dead.
Doyle's men stand in a line like mourners at a funeral pyre. car throws up red dust. It's headed for the abandoned church.
A little after dawn, Joe and Galt got me to the abandoned church. The bill for helping the Indian girl included kicked-in ribs, a broken nose, one eye mashed up pretty good, but all I needed was a gun and some time to heal.
Joe helps Smith from the car to the church. Smith holds his side and hobbles, badly hurt. Sheriff Galt follows them in. Later at the Redbird, Joe is packing a box of provisions, food, bandages, a loaf of bread. He comes downstairs carrying a gun, which he puts on the counter beside the box. McCool and three others are back.
Hey, Joe.
Two men grab Joe and throw him out of his bar onto the sidewalk as Sheriff Galt watches through the blinds. Joe is shoved into their car as the sheriff continues to watch. Later, Joe is tied into a chair that revolves. Doyle's men spin him, landing punches and forcing alcohol into him. Joe's mouth is held open as alcohol is poured in. He spits. McCool leans into the bruised and bloody face of Joe.
We know he ain't dead yet. We counted the bodies out there. Maybe you should take your shoes off and look at your toes. Hickey gets back, we'll be cutting them off one by one.
A car speeds towards the abandoned church.
I knew by the sound of the car it wasn't Joe.
A lone man walks across the dusty graveyard as inside Smith leans against some steps, holding his side miserably.
It's a funny thing about people. One time out of 100, they turn out better than you expect.
Just your old amigo.
Sheriff Galt.
Joe got caught, making his daily run. The food, the bandages, they just gave him away.
Hickey.
No, McCool, and a couple other guys. Hickey and Doyle are in Mexico. Doyle's still looking for that half-breed Indian girl. I mean, is that a persistent little bastard or what?
Where'd they take Joe?
They're all over at Strozzi's hotel. Doyle moved them all over there after winning the war.
Smith stabs the wooden step with the carving knife and pulls himself up.
You really think that you're going to fight anybody with that?
I can get a gun with it.
Galt pulls two guns out of his pockets and hands them to Smith, who checks they're loaded.
That's the only help you're going to get.
Smith nods and they drive to Jericho. Smith makes his way painfully to the Redbird.
But sometimes you just gotta play out a bad hand.
He puts on a jacket and hat, straightening the brim in the mirror as he sees himself, one eye shut tight, the other barely open.
Boxes in Smiley's window.
The Undertaker doffs his cap.
What the hell? Everybody ends up dead. Just a matter of when.
Smith kicks in the door of the Sweetwater and the massacre begins. He takes out three men straight away, eyes now open. He returns fire on a machine gun, killing the shooter. A man lands at his feet. Smith kicks him away. He reloads, hitting a shadow on a skylight. He starts up the stairs reloading. A man springs out with a machine gun. He kills him and three others. He unloads. McCool shoots from the stairs. Smith holds his side, climbing the stairs after McCool. Cautiously, he rounds a corner. He opens a door. Joe sits tied to a chair, glancing frantically to the left. McCool falls dead through the door. Smith cuts Joe's ropes.
Thank you.
Smith gets to a table and puts down his gun. He pulls a handkerchief from his pocket and soaks it with the whiskey, pressing it to a wound in his side.
Back to the Redbird. Get my valise. Bring another bottle of whiskey.
Yes, sir. Right away, sir.
Joe runs out. Smith plants the carving knife in the Sweetwater doorway and hangs a machine gun on it. He staggers down the steps as Sheriff Galt watches.
What's that?
It's a message for Hickey. Him and Doyle get back. You tell him I'm out at Slim's Roadhouse.
Slim's Roadhouse? It's burned to the ground. It's gone, the whole place.
Galt walks beside a hobbling Smith.
You all right?
When's that ranger due back?
Day after tomorrow.
Give you enough time to get it cleaned up.
Cleaned up? I'm just gonna haul those bodies out of the hotel, take them out in the desert, let the coyotes chew on them for a while. Then I'm headed for Houston. Even Frank the Undertaker's leaving town, for Christ's sake. What kind of a town are we gonna have without an Undertaker? How about you, Joe? You're staying put, ain't you?
No, sir. Right now, I'm going with him.
Like hell you are.
I just want to see this thing finished. I earned it.
Smith sips the whiskey Joe's brought him. Galt flicks the brim of his Stetson as he watches them walk off, Joe carrying Smith's valise. The next morning sky dawns red and orange as Smith's car sits out front of the skeleton of Slim's Roadhouse.
Joe and I sat up all night waiting for Hickey and Doyle. When this thing got started, all I wanted to do was make some money. Somewhere along the way, it all got personal.
Joe and Smith sit on the charred remains of the roadhouse, sipping whiskey.
You know, for a guy with no principles, sometimes you act kind of peculiar.
You go get mushy on me, Joe.
I was just trying to say thank you.
I hear people thanking me, I generally start running.
How's your wound doing?
It's like hell.
Closest doctor to here anymore is just across the river in Mexico. I can show you the way.
Smith stands as he sees a car approaching.
Go on back there and go find a spot. Go on. Stay hid.
Joe runs for cover behind a charred table as Smith picks up a gun. He points it as the car stops and Doyle, Hickey, and Deputy Bob get out. They walk towards Smith slowly.
Me fooled. I really thought you burned up with the rest of them.
Nah, I knew better. It was always gonna come down to something like this.
What you thinking about me when you're dying?
Looks to me like you're the one bleeding.
Now hold it! We can get you a doctor. Get you patched up. You're gonna run this town with us. I need you.
Give me a fair fight. We'll need a doctor.
Now wait! We don't need the guns! You, me, and Hickey, we won this war! We're survivors! We won! We won!
Doyle throws his hat up and spins round. The deputy smiles, holding a rifle in front of him.
I haven't found the girl yet. You know, the girl.
He pulls out the rosary she gave Smith.
You must know where she is. You think we can still find her? We can go to Mexico. She's up there in the mountains. Some little village. She had a kid. A little girl. I gotta get her back.
Doyle looks sadly at the rosary he holds. Smith continues to point his gun.
I'm telling you, we can be partners!
Doyle's shot. Smith glances at Joe, smiling from behind the table.
That's for what he done to my town!
You're gonna kill me too?
No, don't worry. I'm all done. I'm just gonna watch.
Smith shoots Bob, who was aiming at Joe. Hickey remains, machine gun by his side. He throws it down.
I don't want to die in Texas. Chicago, maybe. You can meet me there if you want. Try and kill me.
He licks his lips and Smith lowers his gun. Hickey starts to walk away.
Maybe you're the kind of guy. Shooting an unarmed man in the back.
You've done worse than that.
Hickey spins round and both men fire. Hickey's down. Smith lowers his gun and stands thoughtfully.
Exactly the way I planned.
Joe runs to him.
But I was right about one thing. They were all better off dead.
Joe and Smith stand in the red dust together.
Goddamn. I wasn't real sure this old gun would still shoot.
Looks like you got yourself a new car.
Smith walks slowly to Doyle and takes the rosary beads from his hand. He looks at the rosary, then pockets it.
And that was it.
He nods to Joe.
It ended about the same place where it started. Out in the desert on the road to Mexico. I was just as broke as when I arrived. But something would turn up. Always does.
John Smith's Ford pulls off, leaving a trail of red dust. ITFC audio description was by Gloria Hattrick.